Domingo Santana, ooh, I wanna have ya. Tanaka, Spicata, Jag like Michael Walker. Polanco and Franco,
ooh, they're gonna get it to first place. Check Batty Valdeita and swing it strike rates. Raisins out of shriveled grapes. Here's Adam's happy place.
Late Night Podcasting with Team Scam on Kokomo Friday. It is 11:08 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, man. We're doing after dark.
This is crazy. Podcast after dark.
You're like podcasting to me with a flashlight held up underneath your chin. We're telling ghost stories. It's kind of what it looks like.
What's your favorite horror movie? What's your favorite scary movie, Scott?
My favorite horror movie. That's a good question. I might be forgetting something obvious, but I'm a big fan of the original, the first in the long list of entries in the Saw series, the first one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the first Saw is great.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a great movie. Yeah. It's borderline horror. It's maybe more thriller, but it's outstanding.
It is outstanding.
Yeah. Have you ever seen The Exorcist, the original?
No.
And that is the best horror movie ever.
Okay.
Yeah.
What makes it a horror movie? Where are you drawing that distinction?
I don't know. Between like horror and thriller?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like Silence of the Lambs is not a horror movie to me.
No.
Saw is kind of like... I think Saw is a horror movie. I think it's more bloody, more deathy than Silence of the Lambs. Scott, who's your... What's your favorite two start pitcher for Fantasy Week 22 or whatever we have coming up?
My favorite. That's a good question. I don't know among those owned in. I mean, there are a few that are owned in just under 80% of leagues that I think are fine. Kind of like last week, like Clay Buchholz is in that group. Kyle Gibson, surprisingly, back under 80% ownership. Even Trevor Cahill, who didn't pitch so hot on Thursday night. I still like the possibility of using him in a two-start week. But you go any deeper than that, ones that you can expect to be available in a lot of leagues. And I'm not so thrilled.
No, it's bad.
I'm not so
it's
thrilled.
Bad. Yeah.
Hey, I mean, Junior Guerra's down to 58% ownership.
That's
now,
who I was looking at. Yeah. There's one guy that's on this list in my league, in our league. I don't know that he's going to be a two-star pitcher. Mike Leake would be the obvious answer. He'd be at San Diego and at Oakland, and he's pitching great. But he might pitch this weekend because, you know, he was scratched with an illness. So I'm not sure he's going to be – I don't think he's going to be a two-star pitcher. I think he's going to pitch before that. But Mike Leake, could be a two-star pitcher. Yeah, it's not a good week for streaming two-star pitchers. I guess we'll get into that a little bit later. Scott, let's talk about, how about this? The most important thing that Adam has said all season. The most important thing Adam has said all season. The top 7 hitters in points leagues and the top 11 hitters in roto leagues all have something in common, Scott. I'm going to guess you don't know what that is off the top of your head. So let me read who they are. Jose Ramirez, Mookie Betts, JD Martinez, Francisco Lindor, Mike Trout, Alex Bregman, and Manny Machado. Those are your top 7 hitters in points. Top 11 in roto are Jose Ramirez, JD Martinez, Mookie Betts, Francisco Lindor, Javi Baez, Mike Trout, Nolan Arenado, Trevor Story, Manny Machado, Giancarlo Stanton, and Caris Davis. A lot of names there.
A lot of names.
11 different names, in fact. Do you know what they all have in common? Or what they, the one thing that all of them don't have? Well, that's kind of, they're all either righties or switch hitters.
Oh, no lefties. No left-handed hitters of the bunch.
The best left-handed fantasy hitter this year has been, in both formats, true lefty.
Freeman? Freddie Freeman?
No, he's just behind. Actually, the next 3 in roto are lefties. Benintendi, Yelich, and Freeman. There's a switch hitter or two in there. Ramirez and Lindor. But, these are righties. And I'm starting to wonder, with the shift being so prevalent, with it crushing some batting average for lefties, is this something we should consider? in our analysis. Now, I should say this. Two of the top three hitters in fantasy in 2017 were lefties. They were Charlie Blackmon and who am I missing? Blackmon, Stanton, and not Harper, was it? Well, it doesn't matter. So this, you know, it could be a one-year
Votto?
Anomaly. Maybe yeah, Votto. It was Votto.
Yeah.
But righties, there are more righties than lefties, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you're making a big leap on, you know, very limited data point here. It could just be, you know, that's the way things have played out. And, I mean, Schiff's are capable of hurting right-handed hitters, too. They play a big part, I feel like, in Albert Pujols' demise.
Oh, yeah. But you heard what Scott Boras said. It's not fair to be a lefty this day and age.
Yeah,
it's not
no, I mean,
fair.
It definitely hurts them more. I don't know. I feel like Harper, there's been some talk that maybe it's impacted Harper this year. I don't think that's been Votto's issue or Blackmon's issue. Freeman's obviously been fine. I still think there are going to be plenty of good left-handed hitters.
All right, well, that was what I thought was maybe the most important thing Adam has said all season. Probably not. Mine was probably Greg Bird's going to be a breakout.
You've said more important things than that.
I'm sure I have.
Come on. Give yourself some credit.
Loopy. Are we going to get Loopy Scott White? I have no idea what this show has in store for us. No idea. It was kind of a light day in baseball. The Brewers sent Corey Knebel to AAA. That was crazy. We'll tell you about Michael Fulmer coming back off the DL tomorrow or today, I guess, Friday. It's Thursday night, but you're all hearing this on Friday. Let's start with Thursday standouts. Who do you got for me? Thursday standouts.
Thursday, which is still ongoing. There's one game going, so maybe somebody will stand out who we didn't even see coming.
It is over. It is in the books, and Trevor Hildenberger
in final score.
Gets
great.
The save.
That is good. Sean Newcomb. Sean Newcomb, who we were about ready to destroy and held off on saying drop him. At least I did. But... not a lot of good signs. Well, he had a very good start on Thursday, 6-2 innings, 8 strikeouts. The strikeouts had been lacking recently. It was against the Marlins. So, you know, you have to factor that into the assessment. But, it was nice to see. It was nice to see, especially since there was some concern that maybe he was wearing down. He is approaching his career high in innings, and I suspect the Braves are going to mix Bryce Wilson and Touki Toussaint in throughout September to keep both Newcomb and Fultonevich to leave them with some innings to throw in the playoffs. But Newcomb's still worth owning.
You wish this had been against someone other than the Marlins, and you wish there weren't 3 walks in there, but
his next matchup? That's what you're always telling us.
Tampa Bay.
Next matchup.
Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Boom.
Another good one.
Let's do it.
Start him up. Yeah, I mean, the 2 starts before this, 9 1/3, 21 hits, and 12 earned runs. It's like jaw-dropping. The 3 starts before that, 20 2/3, 10 hits, 3 earned runs. So he'll drive you crazy. Tampa Bay
next
week.
There weren't the strikeouts before that, right? There were strikeouts early in the year, and then they disappeared for a middle stretch of the season, and he kept preventing runs from scoring. And you're like, I don't know about this. And then it looked like it all caught up to him. I don't know. I mean, for his standards, he had a decent swinging strike total in this start too. It's hard to draw too many conclusions from this one start. Obviously, the overall trend isn't completely reversed based on one start, but it was. If you were holding out hope for Newcomb, it's what you wanted to see.
My standout is Anthony Rizzo, and I'm hoping that Anthony Rizzo gets really hot and gets back to a 900 OPS for the season, which is basically where he's been 4 straight years, been right around there. 31 or 32 home runs in 4 straight seasons, which is an unbelievably consistent stat. He has gone crazy. He's homered in 3 straight games since the All-Star break. Anthony Rizzo, since the All-Star break, entering Thursday's game, had a 1,000 OPS. He was batting .322 with 8 home runs. And it was amazing as I looked at where he ranked over the last 28 days, which is pretty much since the All-Star break at first base, hitting so well. He's like 6th. There have been so many first base, like kind of under the radar before the injury. Jose Abreu, my goodness, .341 with 8 home runs in his last 28 days. Paul Goldschmidt's been better. 372. Yeah, batting average.
I'm not sure. You know, we still got a month to go, obviously. More than a month to go. I'm not sure this isn't the year he walks away with an MVP finally. If the Diamondbacks win the division, I mean, he's right there. He's, you know, Freeman, Baez, Nolan Arenado. They're in the same range of war.
Yeah, good point. But Rizzo, you know, I hope he goes crazy this second half or this final month and gets his numbers back up so I can be like, see, if you know that a guy is going to perform to a certain level and he hasn't done it for 4 months, he's going to be amazing for 2 months. I just want to be able to say that to all the naysayers out there.
It is good to, do that to the naysayers.
But here's the most interesting thing about Anthony Rizzo. This is something that has never, I don't know about never, but I went back the last 3 or 4 years, has not plagued him before. Probably earlier in his career did. He has been terrible against lefties this year. He has a .296 slugging percentage against left-handed pitchers this year. I mean, putrid. And I think that explains the down season. And also explains why I'm going to favor righties over lefties going forward.
I think that's why the Padres traded him to the Cubs. Or at least that was one of their concerns for Rizzo.
He's been awesome against lefties the last four seasons.
Obviously that blew up in their faces. But
not
that
this
was,
year.
Because remember, he came up briefly with the Padres. I think they sent him down because they wanted him to work on that. And then they traded him for Andrew Kashner. And yeah, good for the Padres.
Well,
good on them.
Yeah, oops. So Rizzo, that's something to keep an eye on. Look, Matt Carpenter was also struggling badly against lefties. And then he turned his whole life around and season. News and notes. Corey Knable to AAA. One of the bigger busts of the season for sure.
Oh, I didn't mention Carpenter among those NL MVP games.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly he's there.
Definitely. You know what I really want to investigate with Carpenter? In fact, I'm going to do this right now. I'm going to do this right now. And we're going to find out. Because I remember earlier, I feel like some of his offensive performance was tied to playing first base. Because maybe he just wasn't comfortable at other positions. So let's see if I can get those splits up with Carpenter. But Knable to AAA. Yu Darvish does not expect to miss any time next year. Or he doesn't expect to have surgery. He expects to be fully healthy next year. Get, off the top of your head, give me a round for Matt Carpenter, or for Yu Darvish next year.
Huh. Okay. I'm not necessarily expecting him to be healthy next year. And with that in mind, I will say round 14.
Ooh.
Seem too low?
I'll take him earlier than that.
Yeah.
I'll take him round 10.
Round 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
115th overall, Yu Darvish next year.
Very specific.
Matt Carpenter has been at his best as a first baseman, but he's also great as a third baseman this year, .908. OPS, 1137 OPS as a first baseman, so I'm guessing I'm wrong. I'm guessing this is not the most important thing Adam has said this year. Matt Holliday! Matt Holliday's back, Scott. He started for the Rockies tonight.
That's interesting, yeah. And obviously, it was so long ago. There are probably some listeners who don't even remember him with the Rockies, but he was... That's where he made a name for himself, man. Nearly won an MVP 1 year as a Rocky. And obviously, you know, still good. Like, if there's any place where he's going to recapture must-start form in fantasy, it would be there. He started in place of Gerardo Parra, which, you know, we're not really missing anything there. David Dahl was still in the lineup, and he homered and doubled. So hopefully the holiday doesn't interfere with him at all. We'll see. But right now, just leaving Holiday for NL only leagues.
I'm looking at Carpenter's previous season splits. I don't think I could have been more wrong about this first base theory. Like, I could not have been more wrong about that. So for scratch it from the record. Michael Fulmer is coming off the DL on Friday, and he is 58% owned. A lot better at home than on the road, although the walk to strikeout ratio is actually much better on the road, so maybe this is a fluky stat. What is your interest level in Michael Fulmer?
I want to say he's had a really impressive minor league rehab stint. Yeah, 11 strikeouts, one total base runner in 6 innings. Now he's pitching in high class A, but still, that's an indicator of health, if nothing else. And, he probably deserves to be owned. that definitely deserves to be owned. Probably won't be must start right out of the gate, but I still feel like there's that potential lurking in there. Some Jameson Taillon like potential for Michael Fulmer. I was wanting to call him Buck Farmer, but no, Michael Fulmer is his name.
Would you rather have Michael Fulmer or Freddy Peralta?
Oh, Fulmer. Yes.
Really?
Definitely Fulmer. Yep.
Okay. Michael Fulmer or Marco Gonzalez?
I did lower Marco Gonzalez in my rankings quite a bit earlier today. I don't think he went down as far as Fulmer, but it could take just one start where Fulmer looks good for that change.
Red Sox first baseman Mitch Moreland has a left knee contusion. Will Myers was out of the lineup again. Wellington Castillo's 80-game suspension is over, but the White Sox placed him on the DL with a shoulder issue. Daniel Murphy led off and played second base. Ben Zobrist started in right field, and Jason Hayward sat. They did not have the DH today. So Zobrist stayed in the lineup. Jason Hayward did not. That won't be a regular thing. You know them. The White Sox, Scott, they called up Jose Rondon, who hit 18 home runs in 80 games at AAA, and he homered for the White Sox on Thursday. Any interest there?
No, this isn't the first we've seen of him in the majors. Believe it or not.
Correct.
I don't feel like there is much upside there, even though he hit a good number of home runs. 290 on base percentage at AAA Charlotte, so
yeah,
get him out of there.
He doesn't do much other than homer, and we don't know that he will in the majors. Devin Mesoraco left with neck stiffness. He's going to have an MRI. Jay Bruce is coming back today, Friday. Buster Posey didn't start, but he is expected to start on Friday. But remember, any day now they could pull the plug on Buster Posey. And Jeff Samardzija is nearing a return. Scott, here's some interesting stuff. I hope it's interesting. Ozzie Albies has a 780 OPS. Like, if you're under 800 and you don't steal a lot of bases, it just doesn't cut it. And yet he's probably like a top six second baseman.
Yeah, he is.
However, over the last 28 days, he is not even a top 40 second baseman. So that's interesting on Ozzie Albies.
Yeah. It is, and they are trying to get Charlie Culberson in the lineup from time to time. Often it's at Dansby Swanson's expense, but occasionally it's been at Albie's expense. I still think, considering he's 21 years old, right? I think he was 20 when the season began. It's still a really impressive year for somebody that young, and he turned 21 in January, so he's been 21 all year. But regardless, very impressive year for somebody that young. I'm mostly disappointed. Well, I'm disappointed in a couple things. I'm disappointed in how little he's walked, because he looked like he was going to walk a lot. He did walk a lot at a high rate last year, and you know, it's kind of been Rougned Odor the year he disappointed. The walks just completely bottoming out, and I'm disappointed that he hasn't run more. I yeah. don't think those are lost causes given how young he is. So I'd still be interested in drafting. Going into next year, I think he's going to be in top five, at least top six at second base.
I think he's got to be sittable right now, though. And the thing is, one of the reasons why Albies, despite a 780 OPS, is so high in second base, he has been leading off or batting second, rather. You know, he's been at the top of the order for most of the year, but now he's batting like sixth. So he's going to lose a lot of plate appearances. And he's hitting like crap. He's a number four second baseman in points leagues.
Yeah, I guess he did bat sixth today. I think he was back at second yesterday, so I don't think they're settled on where exactly they're going to bat him. But yeah, it would hurt if he's not batting in front of Freddie Freeman anymore.
Here's an interesting thing. Charlie Culberson, who you just mentioned, he has an 849 OPS. Does he have any value, Charlie Culberson?
I think in like NL only roto leagues where you have to dig pretty deep to fill your middle infield spot, sure, he has value in that format.
Could you imagine if Charlie Culberson were listening and he heard me say that? Does he have any value, Charlie Culberson? What
it'd a terrible. Like, do you have any value, Adam Azer? Do
no,
you?
I don't. Gleyber Torres, here's something interesting. Now, in his last five games, Torres is 7 for 20, but only one extra base hit and one walk. Overall, the 25 games since coming off the DL, Gleyber Torres is batting 194 with three home runs and a 5.88 OPS. Gleyber Torres has been stinky since coming off the DL.
Yeah, I think we can. We did talk about when he was having so much success. Okay, what's there other than the home runs? Because he couldn't continue at that rate. At the same time, I think this is too much of a correction. Like, he still has an elite line drive rate. He profiles as a high BABIP guy. But he, you know, he's struck out at a high rate as a rookie. It's kind of what I've said for Ozzie Albies. It's still a really good showing for 21-year-olds who we suspect has a lot of upside. In terms of this year, I would call him less than must-start right now. I wouldn't be looking to drop him because, you know, I think he could turn it on just suddenly and be a top eight shortstop down the stretch. But right now, I think, you know, if there are options to consider, then you can consider them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice that he's got 11 walks in those 25 games for Gleyber Torres. But, you know, it makes me wonder if he had this, like, kind of a chronic hip issue. It wasn't a huge deal. He would need a day here or there, but then he went on the DL and he's been bad since coming up. So it just does make me wonder if
Gleyber Torres is healthy. Yeah.
Here's an interesting thing, Scott. The top eight relief pitchers in points leagues are all true closers. No sparps in the top eight. Do you know who the
wait a second. Is one of them Brad Hand? Because I noticed that the other day.
Probably.
I mean, that's pretty amazing right there, because it's been about 7 weeks now since
he's number five.
The Padres traded him, and he's still hanging on there, which to me tells us a great deal about how much turnover we've seen in the closer role since then.
Well, how many? Let's see how many
saves
he has.
That he can hold on to that high ranking.
With Cleveland, Brad Hand does have five saves.
Five, yeah. So not zero, but, you know, if this was... I feel like in a normal season, we would see two-thirds of the league's closers hold on to their job through that stretch, and it's been about half that this season.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Crazy position.
Yeah.
No position has changed more in the last few years. Maybe starting pitcher too, because the innings guys like just don't throw that many innings anymore.
Yeah, and I'm not really sure how to approach it, how it should change the approach, because who have been the best closers this year? It's been Edwin Diaz, it's been Blake Treinen. Neither of whom you paid a premium for coming into the year. Treinen barely drafted, right?
Yeah.
Obviously Kimbrel's been up there.
Kimbrel
but then
and
the
Chapman
other...
both have pitched
well,
great.
But now you can't count on Chapman for the final quarter of the season, it sounds like.
Right, right.
And Jansen's been, you know, he's been up and down and
not
contending with various health issues. So I mean, it's not like you could just say draft one of the, you know, the guys we're used to seeing at the top of the rankings and you'll make out great. I don't know that that's necessarily true. There's a lot of volatility in that role even for them.
Okay, and then the last tip. Oh, by the way, the top sparp is?
The top sparp is Ross Stripling, right?
Yeah, Ross Stripling. Number
who
nine.
I think we will see back in the starting role, because I can't, like I said on yesterday's podcast, or this morning's, from our perspective, I can't imagine he has more than like two or three starts left. They're, you know, that's a big increase they're putting on that young arm who, you know, they expect to be a staple in the franchise.
Okay, and final interesting tidbit, Scott. David Peralta. Well, what's that?
I was referring to Walker Buehler, right? Was that clear?
No, I thought we were talking about Ross Stripling.
Okay, sorry. I thought I may have left a detail out. I think Ross Stripling will wind up back in the rotation because Walker Buehler, they can't continue to pile innings on that arm after he threw only 98.
Right. Okay,
now
that did make sense. Yeah, that made sense.
Yeah.
Okay, David Peralta is slugging .810 over his last 28 days. His slugging percentage is .810. David Peralta.
Yeah. Where do you think he shows up in the outfield rankings the season long? Because it's high. It's very high.
I'm going to say he's eighth.
Well, I don't know if it's that high.
8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Oh, no, it's not. It's 16th.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That, I mean, that was surprising to me when I looked at it earlier this week. But he has been, he's made some of the hardest contact of any hitter in baseball, is in the top 10 in that category. And if you look at all the others in that same range, they're either, you know, some of the biggest power hitters in the game, like Chris Davis, or players who we think are good and just haven't gotten the results this year. I think it's more or less legit. Now, the fly ball rate's kind of low for all the power, but that's been true all year, and it doesn't seem to be slowing down.
Oh, it's obvious. He just needed the humidor. He couldn't hit in Chase Field before. He needed that humidor. Yeah. All right, Scott, let's take a look at some other stuff from Thursday, and then we'll get into the upcoming fantasy week. We got David Price, 8 scoreless innings. Here's the rotation from yesterday. Great starts from David Price, Madison Bumgarner, and Cole Hamels. Price, Bumgarner, and Hamels. Obviously, they are ranked Bumgarner, then Price, then Hamels. Is there anything interesting to say about these guys?
I think I may have Price ahead of Bumgarner.
Whoa, okay. I guess it wasn't obvious. I apologize.
Yeah, I think I might, because he has looked more like good David Price than Madison Bumgarner has looked. I mean, obviously a good start Thursday night for Bumgarner. But, you know, isn't throwing his heart. All the issues we've talked about, isn't getting the strikeouts, and that's been dating back to when he returned from injury last year. So, yeah, I think there are clear concerns for Bumgarner, and you know, David Price is on a team that's going to win 115 games maybe, and he pitches 7 or 8 innings every time, it seems like.
Yeah, he's pitching great.
Yeah, he is.
He really is. He said today, the pitcher that the Red Sox signed is finally here, or something like that. You know, he feels like he is back, and that's a scary, scary thought. Just keep him out of Yankee Stadium, and everything's going to be fine. Cole Hamels, yeah, I mean, you got to start him. Mets and at the Phillies next week. He's on a nice run. With the Cubs, he's now 4-0. ERA is still under 1, I think. I don't have the updated numbers because the game just ended a couple hours ago. 32 innings and, 22 hits. How many strikeouts? 28 strikeouts in 32 innings. So I feel like there's some regression coming for Hamels, but.
Well, of course. In time, you guys sub 1 ERA during a stretch, but no, I take this as confirmation, as the home away splits were suggesting when he was with the Rangers, that he just really needed to get out of that ballpark. And it's gone as well as it possibly could go. Like you said, it can't possibly continue at this rate, but I think he's back to being must start.
Kyle Freeland. Are you going to start Kyle Freeland, who has a 2.96 ERA but a 1.24 whip, at the Angels next week in one start? He's been better on the at home than on the road, even though he's a Coors Field pitcher. Is Kyle Freeland a start next week?
I wouldn't shy away from it. I don't think he's automatic whenever he's making one start. But if he was one of my top 5 pitchers, yeah, that's not a matchup that would scare me away. And it's really nice to see his last 3 starts, 26 strikeouts and 19 in the third innings. If there was anything that was cause for concern, it was the lack of strikeouts. Well, that suddenly changed. He's picking those up each of the last 3 starts.
I can tell you something, folks. All of you listening out there, it's pretty clear to me, half hour in, nighttime Scott White is a fun Scott White. Like, you are operating very well right now, sir.
I thought I might need a burst of caffeine before I came in here, and there's no drinking allowed in this room, so
really?
I couldn't get it. Yeah, no, they're serious. They got new carpet in here, got a sign on the door. Only water and only with screw-in lids.
Oh, okay, so water. Yeah, no, I get the other thing, but
no caffeinated water.
That is true. There's
maybe
no
I don't need
water.
It though. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
It's all adrenaline.
And we'll see if your cell phone goes off tonight. But actually, I've got an even more fun game. About 7 feet away from me, my cat is sound asleep. So would be very fun if she would make an appearance tonight. We'll see. I felt too bad to wake her up. I feel like we'll be okay. But I've been screaming, of course, in this room for the entire time. No, she slept through it. All right, Ian Desmond is one up today. Ian Desmond, one for four with a home run. He now has 12 RBIs in his last seven games. However, entering August, Ian Desmond, who's 86% owned, was batting 200 with no home runs and three steals. He finally hit his first home run of August. What do you make of Desmond right now and this very cold stretch? But you know, 12 RBIs in his last seven games, for what that's worth.
You know, I had the thought as I was talking about Matt Holliday and hopefully it not impacting David Dahl, that maybe it could impact Desmond. You know, no, he's played mostly first base. Ryan McMahon's gotten occasional starts. Ryan McMahon's been, you know, pretty good since returning from the minors. I don't know. I think they're probably going to stick with Desmond. They still owe him a lot of money. He's been, he's certainly been better than I thought he was going to be coming into the year. I know there's still an argument to be made he's not good, but I don't know. And I think in the standard roto lineup, when you have all those extra hitter spots to fill and you could use stolen bases any way you could get them, I still think he's probably hard to sit.
I'm going to tell you another guy you can add a little bit later that's going to give you some steals if you need them. Fringy starting pitchers, Trevor Cahill we discussed. How about Matt Boyd? I think you got to pick up Matt Boyd. At Kansas City next week, I like it. Now, granted, I was all about picking up Tyler Glasnow for his start against Kansas City, and it was okay. He's also on this list. He's 61% owned. Five innings, three runs, three walks, eight strikeouts. And Scott, all the things that you've been talking about, the last two starts for Glasnow, just not throwing quite enough strikes. It seems to be a problem, and he's at Atlanta next week. But yep. The rest of the fringy starting pitchers, Boyd, Glasnow, Lucchesi, Duffy, and DeSclafani. Boyd, Glasnow, Lucchesi, Duffy, and DeSclafani. Who are your two favorites there?
I would still go Glasnow number one. My enthusiasm has waned a little bit because of the last three starts. It still looks like he has some control problems, but they were all more or less good. In 14 swinging strikes in this one, I think is the most he's had in a Rays appearance. So that's good. He's number one, and Cahill would still be number two, despite the bad showing here.
Oh, yeah, I didn't include him. I actually thought Cahill would be number one. Just because he is a two-star pitcher next week and the others are not.
Yeah, I'd be more likely to start in the glass now next week. So of the others, I guess Matt Boyd is my second favorite. I'm not a big Matt Boyd believer. I think he's had good BABIP luck. I think he's had good home run luck. But it continues, and he has looked like a better strikeout pitcher of late.
Last six starts, the six starts before today, which was six shutout innings against the White Sox with six Ks. Matt Boyd, 2.95 ERA, 34 strikeouts to five walks and 36 and two-thirds. And yeah, he's at Kansas City next week. Glasnow's at Atlanta. Joey Lucchesi, I know he had a great start at Colorado today. The wind was blowing in, apparently. That certainly helped. He's got Seattle at home next week. He never, ever, ever throws more than six innings. Danny Duffy, I'd be interested to know what the velocity was tonight because it was way down before he went on the DL. And I had a feeling he was going to be out for a while. He came back very quickly and had a good enough start against the Rays. And he gets Detroit next week. And then DeSclafani gets Milwaukee next week. So let's take a look at the most added players in CBSSports.com leagues. Austin Gomber. I keep forgetting. I think it's Gomber. Is it Gomber?
I think of Goombas.
I think it's Gomber. Man, I just was watching him pitch the other night. Austin Gomber is number one. Michael Kopech is number two. Kopech's 80% owned. So Gomber is not a two-star pitcher, I don't believe. We don't have him listed as such. But people are into him right now, Scott, and I'm not sure, man. As the number one starting pitcher with 23 walks, 36 strikeouts, and 42 and a third, the number one most added player is what I meant to say. I don't know.
I don't believe he's going to be a two-star pitcher next week.
He'd have to get
bumped.
Because
right now they only have four people in the rotation. I have Jack Flaherty as the Cardinals' two-star pitcher next week, which is obviously better.
And Gomber's next start is at Colorado. That's this weekend.
Yeah. I'm not excited either.
Okay, Kopech 2, yeah, we're excited about him. Brett Anderson 3, no, we're not excited about him. We like these next two, though, Harrison Bader and Taylor Ward. Mike Fiers is 81% owned. Would you rather own Mike Fiers or Michael Kopech?
Oh, Kopech. Come on.
Yeah. Kopech. Kopech Cabana. We got it. Trevor Cahill's on here as two-star pitcher. Ahmed Rosario is the third most added hitter in CBSSports.com leagues. Ahmed Rosario. You don't really care for Ahmed Rosario, right?
I don't. This is all you're doing.
No, it's not. I don't know. It's Chris.
It's Chris?
Yeah, I'm not a
Chris
huge...
Chris has something to do with this?
Chris likes Rosario. I think, anyway. Yeah, look, you get some steals with him.
Yeah, I mean, you'll probably get more from him than you will from me and Desmond, if that's the main thing you're looking for. Sure.
Hyunjin Ryu is on the most added list. And I know he had a bad start last time out. 4 innings, 4 hits, 3 runs. He's been really good this year. Very consistent. So I wouldn't drop him. I know he's on the most added list, but I'm hanging on to him.
Who is it?
Hyunjin Ryu.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I would rather have like Michael Fulmer, but they're in about the same range.
Jose Leclerc is 61% owned. That might be a little low. Jose Leclerc?
Yeah. I've been ever since the day the Rangers traded Keone Kella, I've been saying pick Jose Leclerc up, and I seem to keep having reasons to drop reminders every week since. I know there was kind of a long saves drought for the Rangers that right after that happened, which, you know, it happens to every team from time to time, but it's not like Kella had trouble picking up saves, and it's not like they traded away the whole team. I mean, they still have a really good lineup. He'll get his save chances, and he has been certainly a closer caliber pitcher this year. I think he'll do. Given all the uncertainty around the league in that spot, I feel like he's a top 12 closer right now.
Jose Leclerc. Okay, and I'm going to give you 4 pitchers, Scott, who are owned in 41 to 44% of leagues. Lucas Giolito, Derek Holland, Edwin Jackson, and Marco Estrada. Giolito, Holland, Jackson, Estrada, how would you rank them?
I would rank them Holland first, which says a lot right there about where the range we're talking about. Holland, followed by... I don't have the names in front of me.
Edwin Jackson, Giolito, and Estrada.
Giolito probably second, and then Jackson and Estrada. I mean, Holland's the only one I've ever given a thought to picking up, even a 2-start week.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to the ad-o-meter. Hunter Renfro is 26% owned. Where is he on the ad-o-meter? Last 21 days before homering today at Coors Field, or Thursday at Coors Field, he was the number 14 outfielder in fantasy over the last 21 days. Hunter Renfro. Here's how the ad-o-meter works. You give me a 4, that means he should be 40% owned. You give me a 6, 60%, etc.
I think it should be the Adam meter.
The Adam meter.
But it's like ad apostrophe E-M, Adam. I will give him a 6 on the Adam meter. And
that is so weird.
That, you know, all 5 outfielder leagues, basically. Renfro needs to be added.
How about Matt Duffy, 18% owned? I don't know why I put him in the notes. I feel like people were asking about him. This man
is... He's been better than 18% worth.
He's a singles machine.
Yeah.
He does have some speed and good batting average.
Yeah.
Matt Duffy.
Yeah.
Add-o-meter.
Like a 4.
And then here's the guy that can get you some steals. In fact, I'm going to put a claim in for him right now. Greg Allen. Greg Allen of the Cleveland Indians stole another base tonight. He has 12 steals and 13 attempts. He's probably not going to do much else.
No, he has been awful otherwise. It's surprising he's gotten on base enough to do that. He's like a 3.
Okay. And how about the drop-o-meter? This we have to calibrate differently, but 0 to 10. 0 is no way I'll never drop this guy. 10 is, oh yeah, dropped him yesterday. Adam Eaton, 78% owned.
Like an 8.
Adam Eaton, man, you look at the batting average and the on-base percentage, it looks like Adam Eaton. The slugging percentage is .390. His ISO is .101. He just has no power. He does have one homer and three doubles in his last six games. That's not much, but if you're holding out hope, it might be something for Adam Eaton. But yeah, and he sits against lefties, so he's bad. Andrew McCutchen, 0-10 for McCutchen.
He might have a new team soon. He cleared waivers, obviously a free agent at season's end. Dropping him, no. 2-1.
No. Okay. Yeah, you know, it's funny because I know the batted ball data looks good and we're waiting
it
for
does.
It. We're waiting
yeah.
for it, and it's just not happening with McCutchen.
No, but like, he's been bad by his own standards, but he hasn't been a bad outfielder in fantasy this year. He's been borderline top 30, right?
I would guess there's no way in Roto, and probably yes in points because his walk to strikeout ratio is very good. If that doesn't get rewarded for you, then a guy batting 253 with 14 homers, 11 steals, also a very low RBI total, 53 RBIs in 124 games. I'm guessing he's not a top 30 outfielder. I'll look for you in Roto.
You know, it's Roto leagues with the five outfielders is still a pretty good player. Categories league, category head-to-head league with three outfielders and obviously not the points set up. Man, you know, he's probably borderline. That's where you could think about dropping him.
This is McCutchen we're talking about, but are you afraid to drop him, you know, fearing that he goes on a crazy hot streak?
Yeah, a little.
I'm just doing it like looking at it now. I think he's around 35th in Roto. Okay, and last one on the drop-o-meter. How about Brandon Belt, 82% owned?
Yeah, that's like a 7, probably. Just done nothing since returning from the DL.
Yeah, he's had a few DL stints, but he returned from the appendectomy, and 39 games since then, he had a 619 OPS. He's just been dreadful. 619, of course, is my birthday. We all know that. But that's Belt's OPS since coming back from the appendectomy. All right, time to take a look at two-star pitchers for next week. Let's see what we're looking at here, Scott. We already know it's
not looking good.
Yeah.
It is not looking good.
We're going to...
If you're looking for a sleeper anyway. It's looking pretty good if you want... if you have a bunch of high-end pitchers.
All right, how about Julio Teheran versus Tampa Bay and versus Pittsburgh?
You got to.
Two road starts for John Gray at the Angels and at the Padres.
Oh, definitely. He's been great since coming back from the minors.
This is the tough one. This is the toughest one. Carlos Rodon? Carlos Rodon or Carlos Rodon at the Yankees and home against Boston? At the Yankees is not what it used to be, let's be fair. But he is left-handed, which means Stanton will hit two home runs off of Carlos Rodon. Rodon at the Yankees and home against Boston.
I don't think it's automatic in categories league. I think points definitely start him. And, you know, it just depends what you're pursuing in a categories league.
Okay.
Wins and strikeouts versus ERA and whip.
Next up, we have Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn is facing the White Sox and the Tigers at home.
I mean, those are two great matchups. His last two starts haven't gone very well, but anytime you get a pitcher of some ability going against two matchups like that, that's your sleeper. It's just he's already 84% owned, so we can't call him a sleeper.
I know. It's so weird, his ownership percentage. So Lynn or Rodon, who do you think's better?
For this week?
Yeah, for this week.
I think Lynn is. With the matchups, yeah.
Yeah, it's not just Lynn's matchups. It's Rodon's matchups.
Right.
It's more Rodon's matchups.
Opposite ends of the spectrum.
Totally. Trevor Cahill at Houston and home against Seattle. You said you're good with that?
I am.
Okay. Clay Buchholz at San Francisco and at the Dodgers.
I mean...
Good luck sitting him.
Yeah. It's time.
To start him.
It is time, yes.
All right,
pull the ripcord.
Here's a pitcher who's got two tough matchups against two of the five best teams in home OPS. Kyle Gibson is at Cleveland and at Texas. Gibson, I feel like Gibson's been better in tough matchups. Like he's been good against Cleveland. He had a good start against the Yankees, I believe. He had a good start against the Red Sox. At Cleveland and at Texas for Gibson.
Rick Porcello's kind of had that too. Feels like a confirmation bias sort of thing, but maybe not. Kyle Gibson was awful last time out, and the strikeouts have been, you know, the strikeout to walks is they've kind of been leveling off, kind of like we saw from Sean Newcomb, that concerning sign. But I still think he's good enough to start whenever he's making two starts.
Hyunjin Ryu at Texas and home against Arizona.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that in a points league. Maybe not Roto.
Steven Strasburg at Philadelphia and home against Milwaukee.
Definitely in a points league, but there were some concerns raised in that first start off the DL. Hopefully it was just a case of him not being built back up yet.
We got Zach Eflin against Washington and the Cubs.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd start him. Last start was awful, but it was isolated.
Junior Guerra might be your best streaming option at Cincinnati and at Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I would agree with that. I mean, he's been fine. I'm actually a little surprised he's less than 60% owned.
58% owned Junior Guerra. Edwin Jackson at Houston, home against Seattle.
Nope.
Ivan Nova at St. Louis and at Atlanta.
Nope.
All right, here's a... Got to get desperate. Brian Johnson, Miami at home at James Shields and the White Sox. So it's Brian Johnson against Miami and at the White Sox.
Those are good matchups. That would be a desperation.
You know what? What about Eduardo Rodriguez? I'm not sure Johnson makes both starts.
Well, that's a good point. Because I know Rodriguez is on a rehab assignment now. Let me see if I can find a timetable for him real quick.
Okay. Yeah, you'd have to be kind of scratching for, digging for treasure. I don't know. Because Johnson, never pitches six innings. But two starts, he could get you 10 innings, three runs, something like that. James Shields, there's no way we're starting him at the Yankees and home against the Red Sox. And then... what about Daniel Ponce de Leon against Pittsburgh and Cincinnati?
Yeah, like I said, I don't think he's actually going to make two starts because he got sent to the minors. They had an off day Thursday, another off day Monday. So I think he'll be back up to make a start this week, but I don't think it'll be two starts. I think Jack Flaherty's the Cardinals' two-start option for this week.
That's it. Gavilio. Well, Gavilio at Baltimore and at Miami.
What the Gavilio?
Yeah, well, his last start was awesome. It was seven innings, was. Two runs, yeah. Seven Ks against Baltimore.
He might be... who was that scrubby pitcher? I guess it was Trevor Richards, and then he didn't end up making two starts. Never mind. This is probably the desperation sleeper based on those matchups. I mean, he has an ERA over five. He hasn't been... yeah, there's not a lot to like here, but they are two good matchups. He's coming off a good start. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, if you want to go with Gavilio, then go with Gavilio. I am going to read some emails from our friends, our listeners. Carlos from the Dominican Republic. Would you drop Will Myers or Eloy Jimenez for Kendrys Morales, Tyler White, or Jake Bowers? Would you
depends
drop
out.
Will Myers? Yeah, I'll read it again. Will Myers or Eloy Jimenez in a categories league, by the way. For Kendrys Morales, Tyler White, and Jake Bowers?
It would depend how immediate the need is. I definitely wouldn't drop Will Myers because I think Will Myers is better than all three of those. But I would suspect Eloy Jimenez is not coming up this year. I would have said the same about Michael Kopech a week ago. So, I don't know. That's just where I think the signs are pointing. But if he does get called up and you'd stashed him for months and then somebody else benefits from him, that would totally suck. So if it's just for a bench spot, I'd stand pat. If you really need help now, Blue Jays have great matchups this week and Morales is red hot, so you could drop Jimenez for Morales.
We got Casey who says, dear Miguel, Brian, Hunter, and Johan. Miguel, Brian, Hunter, and Johan. Look, it could be Miguel Sano.
Twins infield?
Brian Dozier. Oh. Torrey Hunter and Johan Santana.
I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense, though. All right. Well, anyway, how would you rank these guys next year? Carpenter, Suarez, Rendon, Justin Turner, Javi Baez. Carpenter, Suarez, Rendon, Turner, Baez.
Torii Hunter. Yeah, that doesn't make... I'm still trying to figure that. Okay, sorry. So answering the question. What is the question?
Rank these five next year. Carpenter, okay. Suarez, Rendon, Turner, Baez.
Okay, I will rank them.
Justin Turner.
With next year in mind. I think you got to go Baez one.
I don't think you have to do that, Scott. I think that you just put him over Matt Carpenter.
I did.
Because you're a sleepy Scott White. Oh, you're doing that for real?
I'm doing that for real. I mean, Matt Carpenter's old and has been very inconsistent over the last few years. I'm glad he finally lived up to the batted ball profile over these past couple months, but I don't think all concerns are erased there.
Wow, okay.
So I wouldn't even... He'd be fourth for me, honestly.
You're taking a guy who's one of the elite on-base players and putting him behind Javi Baez, who never walks. That is not the Scott White I've come to know. That is nighttime Scott White.
This is after hours, after dark Scott White. Take a turn for the darker side, talking about horror movies and Baez, Suarez, Rendon, Carpenter, Turner.
Baez, Suarez, Rendon, Carpenter, Turner.
And by the way, like it's a thin separation with those top four. It's Turner who's the distant fifth.
And this is an email from Nick in a town on the north shore of Long Island. Nick, you're from Great Neck. Dear Stewie...
That's a good setting for a horror movie, right?
The north shore of Long Island? Or Great Neck?
Either one.
Yeah, Great Neck wouldn't be good for a horror movie. I mean, I guess it is kind of like this quiet little pleasant town, but nah, I can't.
Yeah, exactly.
Dear Stuart, Itchy, Fievel, and Mr. Jingles... Those are mice.
Mouses.
Those are mice. This is actually...
Mouses.
Mouses. Late night Scott White just said mouses. This might be a football listener because we had said a joke about that. There's a proposal in my league to change how wins are allocated. The proposed system would work as follows. Each week, every team will, like usual, earn a win or a loss based on the outcome of their head-to-head matchup, but will also earn a win or a loss based on how many points they score that week. For this, we would order the team scores for that week from highest to lowest. If you score in the top half, you get an extra win. If you score in the bottom half, you get an extra loss. What do you think?
It's not bad. It's not bad. I guess it kind of dilutes the effect of luck. I don't think it's necessary, but if this is a great concern among the owners in your league, off the top of my head, I don't really see the harm in it.
All right.
It's kind of like doing a power ranking.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at least on CBS Sports, you can look at the power rankings that kind of takes into account points as well as record and you know.
I got a beef with power rankings.
Well, so, this one is a very, you know, formula-driven process, but...
Yeah, no,
go
I'm
ahead.
Saying,
what's your beef?
When I read a power rankings article, I feel like the authors are very much just putting the team with the best record at number one. And I feel like your power rankings should really be who you think are the best teams in what order. And record shouldn't necessarily... Like, if I'm doing power rankings right now, there's no way the Yankees are number two. The Astros are number two. For Scott, they'd be number one. But
here's my issue with power rankings, Adam.
What are they? Yeah, what are they, right?
Right?
Yeah.
You're getting people to click on them, but it's entirely meaningless. It's just fodder.
Yeah.
It's just stuff to talk about. Stuff for people like you to gripe about.
No,
that's all it is.
I mean, I think it'd be interesting, but I'd rather it be more...
You can do no wrong with power rankings because you're going to get the clicks either way.
Okay. I guess maybe we should title every episode like 0824 Fantasy Baseball Podcast Power Rankings. And then we're never ever going to bring up power rankings. We'll just put that in the title. All right, let's do today's matchups, Friday's matchups. Matt Harvey at Alec Mills. Reds at Cubs. Matt Harvey at Alec Mills.
Nope.
CC Sabathia and Alex Cobb.
This is Sabathia's first start back, right?
Yeah.
So that's a no. Well, it's the Orioles. Yes.
Jake Arrieta at Ryan Barucki.
I don't know the tune of the song you sing well enough.
We're up all night to Barucki. We are all right now. We are up all night to Barucki,
but we're up for Arrieta instead.
Gio Gonzalez at Jason Vargas.
No.
Mike Foltynewicz at Dan Straley.
Definitely Folty. No Straley.
Hector Velasquez for the Red Sox.
Nope. Bullpen game for the Rays.
Ronaldo Lopez at Michael Fulmer.
I will start Fulmer against the White Sox first game back. Caution to the wind. Let's do it.
Sean the Maniac Mania and Jake Eggs Odorizzi.
I'll start Mania. I will not start Odorizzi.
I will give a nickname to everybody now. Jay Must Start Musgrove and Wade Smiley Miley.
Just Musgrove.
Mike the Clementine Clevenger and Brad Keller Pudding Pops. No, I have nothing. Mike Clevenger at Brad Keller.
Just Clevenger.
Okay, let's see. Miles
Nikolaj.
Mykonos Michaelis. And Antonio. I'm trying to Senzatella. Nah, I can't do this anymore. Miles Michaelis at Antonio Senzatella. You're going to start Michaelis at Coors Field?
Yes, you are.
All right. Erasmo Ramirez at Zach Godley.
The Godliest.
Dallas Keuchel at Andrew Heaney.
Keuchel, yes. Heaney,
I can't do it.
I'm kind of leaning yes.
Yes
on the.
All right, a little worried.
The Heen dog.
The Heen machine. Andrew the Heen machine. Clayton Dave Richard or Rich Hill?
Rich Hill. For sure, Clayton Richard.
Hill of Beans.
I'd rather start Dave Richard than Clayton Richard, frankly.
And finally, Drew Hutchison. Oh, Derek Rodriguez is back. Lovely.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
You're going to start him at home against the Rangers?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, let's do that. Derek Rodriguez.
I can't believe we did almost an hour, Scott. Amazing.
Yep.
We got the overnight shift.
After hours. An hour after hours.
All right. That's Scott White. I'm Adam Azer. Have a great weekend, everybody. And we'll talk to you on Monday with a weekend recap. Happy Kokomo Friday.